It appears the bromance is over between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz after last night's Republican debate hosted by the Fox Business Network. They clashed over Cruz's eligibility to become president. He was born to an American mother in Canada. And over what New York values are after Cruz said that Trump represented them.
Not a lot of conservatives come out of Manhattan. I'm just saying.
He had a good response. Trump did, but so did New York's Daily News. They responded today with a cover that said, New York to Ted, drop dead, with a picture of the Statue of Liberty. I don't know if you saw it, Jeremy.
Yeah, I did.
But I don't think she's waving hello.
No, I don't.
Right. So Sunday night, the gloves are expected to come off when Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders debate, along with Martin O'Malley, of course, as the Democratic race is tightening, not just in New Hampshire, but also in Iowa. So we want to take a few minutes now to take a look. And we're going to start with Here and Now political analyst Paris Denard, a Republican Party consultant. And Paris, start with the New York back and forth, because up till then, Cruz seemed to have Donald Trump on the ropes. But talk about his response to this criticism of New Yorker not having values.
You know, this was a pivotal moment for Donald Trump because no one knew where he was going to go with this. Mm-hmm. But he's so good and so quick on his feet. He seized the moment to really galvanize everybody in that room and get him back on his corner by saying, you know what? After 9/11, New Yorkers came together. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about, New York values, but I know the values that were shown after the terrorist attack. So he was able to sow restraint. He was able to seem presidential. And he was able to tie Ted Cruz's attack back to national security and make it a home run. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to quote and say, you know, there are some great conservatives in New York, like William F. Buckley. After that, he just shut it down. Mm-hmm. There was nowhere for Ted Cruz to go, and he didn't even care to respond.
Right.
And he was just steaming when Ted Cruz was making those comments. You could see it in Trump's face. But they had another back and forth about, as we said, Cruz being born in Canada and whether he's eligible to be president and whether there'll be a lawsuit challenging his eligibility. Let's listen to that.
Back in September, my friend Donald said that he had had his lawyers look at this from every which way. And there was no issue there. There was nothing to this birther issue. Now, since September, the Constitution hasn't changed. But the poll numbers have.
How do you think Ted Cruz did last night overall, Paris?
I think overall, Ted Cruz had a very good night. I think those who support him and like him were very pleased with it. He did go on the offensive. And like you said earlier, the bromance, the public bromance is officially done with. It's over. But I think he realizes that he has got to go after Donald Trump because they're competing for the same group of voters and he needs to do well in Iowa. And so he showed himself to be a true contender last night by his performance, which was overall very good.
Now, Paris, I just want to ask you one question while we have you. We're going to move on to some of the other candidates.
Sure.
And then on to the Democrats as well. But why do so many of his colleagues hate Ted Cruz? You know, his former college roommate. You don't see any of the Republicans rushing to defend his birth as you would, as you did when President or then candidate Barack Obama's birthright was challenged. What's up?
You know, that's a very good question. And I, you know, just speaking candidly, there are a lot of people off the record in the Republican Party who do not like Ted Cruz. He's not he doesn't come off as a very likable person. President George W. Bush, I had some choice words about how he felt about him. So he's just not a very well-liked person. I think when you walk around the Senate and call the majority leader a liar, and when you try to, when you grandstand and to do the things that seem to be politically expedient just for your own career, you don't really make a lot of friends out that way. And so his attitude and temperament is not one that bodes well for winning the Mr. Congeniality contest in the Senate.
Well, yeah, and he didn't have a friend in Marco Rubio last night. I want to listen to another a little bit here from the debate. This is Marco Rubio unloading on Ted Cruz about flip-flopping on a bunch of issues.
You used to support legalizing people that were here illegally. Now you say you're against it. You used to say that you were in favor of birthright citizenship. Now you say that you are against it. And by the way, it's not just on immigration. You used to support TPA. Now you say you're against it. I saw you on the Senate floor flip your vote on crop insurance because they told you it would help you in Iowa. And last week we all saw you flip your vote on ethanol in Iowa for the same reason.
Crop insurance. You know you're coming right up to the Iowa caucuses. Let's bring in Angela Rye here, a Democratic strategist and Here Now political analyst. And Angela, what are your thoughts on the debate last night?
The debate was really interesting. I would say that I thought Initially, I watched the little kids debate, and then we watched the big kids debate. Everything from Chris Christie trying to be the grown-up in the room and then saying that he was going to kick the president's butt out of the White House.
Which a lot of people pointed out on Twitter. The president will leave on his own, probably, when he's done with his
term. And probably not
in
the fall. He probably will leave on January 20th, 2017, right. Mr. Christie.
But the point is, he's leaving.
Okay, Paris. But I think the other part that was really interesting, too, from the big kid at the table was when he turned to Marco Rubio and he was like, you blew it, Marco. You had your chance. You blew it. So I was just like, what is this? I feel very much like I'm back arguing with my my cousin when we were a kid about whose Barbie it was. You know, it was fascinating, but at the same time, it was fun. My favorite moment was the one you just played where Ted Cruz, who I don't like either, Paris, he's not my Mr. Congeniality, got zinged by Marco Rubio. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was towards the end of the debate. If you went to sleep early, you didn't see it. It's sort of like Marco Rubio saved it, you know, till
the
end.
He was waiting for it.
But Angela Rye, I just want to ask you as well about, you mentioned the big and the little table, and Carly Fiorina was at the little table in the undercard debate. But she had one moment there I'd want your response to. This was a not-so-backhanded slap at the Clintons.
And unlike another woman in this race, I actually love spending time with my husband.
Angela, you know that people have been debating how much the Clinton marriage should be a part of this. She's decided very much a part of it. Your thoughts on that moment?
Well, they're no different than what I've been saying about Carly Fiorina from the beginning. She has, you know, whether she's at 1% or 3% or somewhere in the low double digits, has consistently made her campaign about attacking Hillary Clinton, even if that meant her marriage. Now, when it was her face from Donald Trump, she didn't like it. And so I think she should tread very lightly. I think marriages of candidates are off limits unless in some way, you know, this candidate has, you know, committed adultery and they're the person who people are worried about being present and available to the needs of the country. I think that it is horribly unfortunate as a woman or as any person who, if you've ever been cheated on by a spouse or a significant other, like, how dare you bring that into the race? That is emotionally volatile territory. And I just think it's been really unfortunate that it's been a focus at all.
You know, Hillary Clinton was a big focus. I want to go to you on this, Paris, last night in this debate. And it reminded me of 8 years ago when all the Republicans were talking about was running against Hillary Clinton. And then along came Barack Obama as the nominee. What about now? We've got a real race going on in Iowa and New Hampshire on the Democratic side. Paris, are these Republican candidates not thinking enough about Bernie Sanders? Are they discounting the idea that he may be the nominee?
I think Republicans have pretty much agreed with the DNC that Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee. And so they're focused squarely on defeating her. And that's why you see them constantly linking her to the Obama economy, the Obama legacy, the third term for Barack Obama. And that's why Hillary Clinton always tries to say that she's not running for Bill Clinton's third term or Hillary Clinton's third. Or President Obama's third term. She's running for her first term. And so the Republicans seem to believe, and I think they're correct. I think we are right to say Hillary Clinton is going to be the anointed one like she always has been, and we're going to defeat her.
Well, you know, both of you, say what you will, whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, last night's debate was compelling. I mean, you couldn't, it's like those world wrestling matches where you just keep seeing there's like 10 people in the ring and they're all bouncing off the ropes. I mean, it was compelling. It was, you know, they're very verbal. So given that, Angela, what do the Democrats have to do? They're burying their debates on Sunday night up against Downton Abbey. You know, what do they have to do?
Well, I'm going to put a plug in for this week because it's the CBC Institute's debate. I'm a proud board member. It will be Sunday night at 9 p.m. Yes, snooze, but watch it anyway. And if you don't, DVR it. I think that we have a challenge. And I said this on this show before. I don't like that the debates are coming on so late. I don't like that there aren't that many debates because I think that is exactly how you began to see the distinctions between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in 2008. I will say that going back to your last point about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders had the most tweeted moment during the GOP debate. Arguably, Bernie Sanders won the debate last night. He tweeted, "The Republicans seem to think they could beat our campaign. They haven't seen the polls." And so there are a lot of people, at least in the demographic that use Twitter, that agreed with Bernie Sanders, and they think that the Republicans are wrong to sleep on that campaign.
Paris, go ahead.
Well, and to Robin's point, when you look at this GOP primary, it's very exciting. You know, the GOP primary is more diverse than the Democrat primary or the Oscar nominations this year. And so people are tuning in and they're
watching
it.
Anything could be more diverse than the Oscar nominations.
And they're excited. I mean, even the RNC spent $300,000 on an ad buy to play during the debate, highlighting the diversity of the people that are working for the GOP. So it's a more exciting side. It's more diverse. And the excitement is leaning towards it.
It's more diverse faces, Paris, not diverse ideals, though.
Let me ask you one more question, Paris, and I just want a one name answer here. Who is the standout candidate among the establishment people in the Republican debate last night?
Surprisingly, Jeb Bush. He did a very good job.
Well, and he got the endorsement today from Lindsey Graham. Well, Paris Denard, Republican Party consultant, and Angela Rye, Democratic Party consultant, here and now political analyst both. Thank you so much, and we'll check back in with you after the Democratic
and
debate.
And Angela, we'll be watching Sunday night. We won't be watching Downton Abbey.
Thank you.
We'll be tweeting.